Okay, I should have got. Let's see if this gets us. Hopefully, this is going to get you to right where you're supposed to be. Okay, there we go. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for waking up. Is this how close do we have to be to get a good voice? I will not sing for you, even though I really enjoyed the singing yesterday at the occupational health and safety luncheon. Some of the introduction's already done, but today we're going to talk about our research project that we're involved in, and particularly the role of a particular style of research we're doing, the community-based participatory research, in a case that we're working on with home care worker and consumer health and safety. So project partners, oh, click, that's great. My agency, the public authority, and in this project we really play a large role in representing the consumer and client needs within the project, and then also the union that represents Home Care Workers, Service Employees International Union, as well as Labor Occupational Health Program, UC Berkeley, and of course NIOSH, which is not only funding the project, which is great, but playing a really huge role in the implementation. So this is actually a five-year project, an intervention that we're developing with the goal of creating, evaluating interventions to improve health and safety for home care workers, specifically in Alameda County. And we're trying to do this in a way that really involves the consumers at every step and looking at this as a cooperative venture, creating interventions they both can use together. Our approach, as I mentioned before, community-based participatory research methods, and we have three phases to this project. We are working right now and finishing up phase one, which is research and developing a prototype of an intervention. Second phase will be field testing that intervention, and then also, obviously, at the end to evaluate whether it's really working out in the community. So next to progress, where are we? So as I said, we're finishing up phase one, and some of our key findings have been identifying some of those barriers to health and safety for both home care workers and consumers. A need to explore more creative means of delivering information, nothing new, but especially in our very diverse, low-income community of home care workers, finding this important. Also a need to create social marketing strategies to help sell the concept of health and safety along with informational materials. And then also, as we're going to focus on in this presentation, how to look at some of those institutional barriers and how do we promote some policy initiatives. Our current activities, we have just established both a worker and a consumer researcher groups that are going to help us in field testing and walking with us through all the phases of the research. And then also, obviously, our next step, once we have that wonderful intervention in our hands, which we're almost there, to start field testing it. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the use of the community-based participatory research to identify health and safety barriers and also for the policy initiatives. So we have this. I hope you can read it. I actually, even on my little PowerPoint, can almost read it. But came up with this framework, and actually Sherry Baring came up with this as a way of looking at how do we address policy initiatives when the policy is really happening at different levels, and how do we jump in. And so we're looking at it at first kind of at this community level. What can we do even within programmatic changes we can make within our own particular organizations, the collaborators and stakeholders that we have involved, that can take us on that path to making changes in health and safety, but then also galvanizing those folks to advocate for greater changes at the state level, where at least for in-home supportive services in California, they really have a lot of control over what can happen as far as what can be mandated within the caregiving program there. And then some of those legislative changes and legislative mandates really enable the county at the programmatic level in implementing in-home supportive services to be able to make changes and hopefully be able to more highly fund as well some of the community initiatives. So this is our model of how we're trying to have these different policy areas influence each other and hopefully create some change. So just to review a little bit our research activities that we've done to date, we have conducted 10 focus groups, 6 home care worker groups, and 4 consumer groups. The whole project we're doing in English, Spanish, and Chinese. We've held two annual stakeholder meetings where we've gathered representatives from community-based organizations, leadership from government, both local and state, and program representatives from the county in-home supportive services program. And then we've also held 10 follow-up key informant interviews with some of those stakeholders to get more in-depth information on our project and our project goals, both related to policy and related to how to create this intervention. And then last of all, we've gone through a process evaluation of the efficacy of our partnership and how we're working together as we move through this five-year collaboration. So as far as results, we're going to talk about three different things, explain a little bit what has been some of the community input, what have these community partners told us about the project, briefly mention some of the results from this efficacy evaluation of our partnership capacity, and then last talk a little bit about policy formation and formulation, what we've been trying to do. So one of the first, the needs that we've come up through, key needs through that community input, they point to the importance of an increase in capacity and accountability, and that's for the home care worker, but also for the consumer in their role as employer, especially within the independent provider mode that we have here in California. Also to increase access, and I would say awareness as well, of resources and equipment that's out there, and also to increase advocacy for home care workers. As far as this need to increase capacity and accountability, we have a couple examples here, quotes from our focus groups. It's just so important that the consumer can expect a professional to come into their home, do this work, be responsible, and get things done. That was from a consumer perspective. Also, if it were a little more formal, I think that people would feel like it's okay to have some person that I don't know coming into my home because it's a job and I'm hiring them and I have certain responsibilities to them and they have certain responsibilities to me. This is representing a worker perspective. This also has some effects on the health and safety for the home care worker. Often there's unclear job tasks or job requirements. Those guidelines are unclear. Inadequate training on job safety, where training is not mandatory in California, and so it's all voluntary, and there's limited resources for that. Lack of awareness of the consumers of their responsibilities as an employer to protect workers. The more we can make that older disabled person aware of their responsibility as employer, the better effect it has on their sense of power in society, on their sense of responsibility for the needs of their employees and the people they care for. And that they can't but help have a positive effect on their sense of self when they're taking care of their own physical and emotional needs. And so hoping that this could also empower the consumers to be able to take on more of this role. Proposed solutions in this area include promoting a contract or maybe having it as part of policy where there's actually contract and clear guidelines and job agreement. Morning cough. Some sort of minimal mandated paid training, and definitely paid training, although very difficult in this climate of limited resources. But and also a career ladder where home care workers with greater training can receive higher levels of pay, none of which at this point are policy options or options within the IHSS program. The other issue we had was this need for access to equipment and resources. Consumers often lack adequate financial and informational resources. A home care worker said that elderly lady that I take care of has no clue what to do for me and has no resources to help me with my back or anything like that. So as far as solutions, definitely connecting workers and consumers to existing resources through our intervention that we're developing. But also we've come up with the idea of maybe a lending library that can provide free or low-cost assistive devices and other resources that folks can tap into. And last of all, a need for increased advocacy for home care workers, that within the system, it really lacks your traditional employer-provided work supports kind of services, an ombudsperson, something like that. Home care workers are often excluded from certain labor laws, especially if they're family caregivers, family providers, and that it's really a challenge to figure out how to advocate workers' rights within a system that's really designed to help that elder and person with a disability. And the kind of the payroll is more a function and puts a lot of that employer responsibility on the consumer themselves. Proposed solutions, an ombudsperson, which I mentioned before, who would be specifically for home care workers, and also to look at the possibility of increasing the social worker role so they might be available to mediate. And at least within our program in Alameda County, The social workers have 500 plus caseloads, which makes it impossible for them to do anything but really assess hours. Just really briefly to mention, there was this partnership capacity evaluation, some of the strengths that, as you can imagine with Laura Stock and Sherry Barron, part of this, we have experienced, highly skilled leaders. Also, strongly committed partner organizations, good interpersonal relationships, and respect, I think, for the skills that we all bring to the table. And it does not hurt to have funding to make this happen, as you can imagine. Challenges are often getting the participation of the home care workers, really finding where they're at, convincing them that this is an important thing to dedicate some of their very limited time to. And we have gone through a turnover with one of the partner organizations, which is always challenging. So, I didn't click on that one. Policy formulation. So some of the internal, as I mentioned before, we're looking at some of those internal policy changes. We're trying to improve access to the health and safety resources. I already mentioned a lending library, but we've also garnered a lot of commitment from our stakeholders in participating on this checklist that we're developing and safety tip sheets that we'll have as part of it, in having them be listed as resources. Providing it written information, which we're trying to integrate that more in the educational resources that my agency develops through guides and handbooks, and also displaying information in the lobby, just making it more accessible to folks. But of course, also with the project itself and what we're creating. And last of all, we're working really hard to garner project support at the local level through the County Board of Supervisors, managers and supervisors within the IHSS program, and I think also, which didn't get written down here, but also within the consumers and the home care workers themselves. By training these leaders within the community, we're hoping that they can also help. We'll be spreading the word about. As far as some of the longer-term, greater policy changes that we'd like to see, again, this creation of an ombudsperson who could really support home care workers, paid training for workers, and adequate funding for training consumers as well in their role, and increased social worker role in health and safety. So to conclude, this project engaged in research and community partners in this process of identifying barriers and formulating these policy initiatives. We have a strong community partnership and participation, and we're trying to implement some of these changes through internal policy initiatives, hoping to build support and commitment for advocating for future public policy changes. What we have on the horizon is implementing our planned educational interventions, but also developing additional strategies to try to influence our decision makers, mobilize financial personnel and other resources to be able to sustain and advance these policy initiatives. Thank you.
So we have time to have one or two questions for Linda. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they make the claim, at least in Alameda County, and every county it's a little different, but there's a point source of where you would make that claim and they'd fill out the application. But all of the in-home supportive services workers in California have workers' compensation through a state fund.
So the state fund.
Yeah. But it tends to be underreported. I mean, it's there, but folks that I train don't even know where to call, might not know what workers' compensation is and don't really know where to call to get it, even if they did knew they had it.
We're hoping to include educational materials on that.
So it's an independent provider mode. So in this model, different folks play different roles as far as the employer is concerned. And so the county approves hours for a home care worker to get paid. The payment comes through the state, and some of the workers' compensation, disability, all those things come through the state payment. But the employer, for the purposes of hiring, supervising, and firing, is the actual consumer. So they're responsible technically for training. And then my entity is this kind of, we were created to be the employer of record so that the home care workers could actually unionize and negotiate for higher wages and benefits, protect the state and the county from liability. And so my agency is like nine people doing all sorts of service kinds of things as well as managing health benefits. But
yeah, did you have a follow-up question?
I do have
and, maybe,
kind of follow-up
and then
question.
One more. Yeah.
Which is whether Medicare or Medicaid will cover assistive devices. So if the consumer gets a prescription, then they can go and it doesn't cost them anything.
Exactly. I mean, yes, because everyone's on Medi-Cal, which is Medicaid within California. And yet, as folks know who are consistently have long-term disabilities and are needing a number of devices, you don't always get the first device that you really need, and then it's hard to get the second one, and not everybody can easily access those resources either. And Medicaid doesn't cover, like for gloves, it covers things that would, anyway, it's limited in what we'll cover. It's not going to cover to protect the home care worker. It's going to cover to protect the consumer. Definitely in cases where someone is incapable of handling that role, they can have a guardian who would take on that role. And yet I think there's many, many cases where someone, you and I would probably say they're not up for being an employer, and yet they are taking on that role themselves. There's not someone to be able to take that, or they're not at such a stage where the county themselves would take over. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Okay, our next speaker actually will be delivering two papers, and she is Robin Gershon. She's the Associate Dean for Research Resources, Professor of Social Medicine at Columbia University.
Thank you so much, and good morning. And I have to keep these straight, because in the first one we're talking about the AIDS, and then we talk about the RNs, so I have to keep my head straight on this. It's a pleasure to be here today, and we were just talking amongst ourselves, and actually we should really be in a round table for this meeting. It's such a small group, and I'm kind of sorry we're not. But the benefit, the outpouring of research that came out of this incredible NIOSH initiative, and I guess it's now going back 5 years, was so important in so many ways, not only for the incredible amount of brand new